Please join me for a word of prayer.
Abba, Father, what a joy it is to just be able to sing your praises. Father, as we, as a people, as individuals, as your church, embark on this new year that lays ahead of us, Father, it's our prayer, it's my prayer, that I would be able to learn to love better, to love more completely. Father, just to learn to love simply. Father, I pray that would be the desire of each life that is here today. Father, thank you for each one of them. Thank you for their hearts. Hearts that love you enough to say, I know it's cold. My house is so warm, and I'm tired. But I want to spend time with God's people and with my Savior. And so they're here. Father, they didn't come to hear me. They came to be with you and to be with your people. So thank you for that heart. Father, I just pray this in this moment that you would still my spirit. That you would use my voice to share the word of truth that you have for us, that it wouldn't be my words per se, but my voice with your words being spoken. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, that we might draw closer, first of all, to you, that we might draw strength and power from the one who is true, authentic love. But Father, we would draw closer to one another through that same love as we share it amongst ourselves here, but Father, also as we go out into our daily lives. Father, may we just simply love. So, Father, I ask just now, will you please come? And will you share with us? In Jesus' precious name, amen. Last week we began a very brief sermon series. It's going to last one more week. And the primary focus of that is simply that we love. But it grows for me out of what we as the church leaders, the elders and past elders believe is the mission of Monrovia Christian Church. But before we even go there, I think that we need to understand that the mission for each one of us, the mission for Monrovia Christian Church at its very root, at its very core, is the mission of the church universal. And the mission was given to us by our Savior Jesus Christ. Not to us directly, but to us nonetheless. It was given directly to the disciples who were there with him, who was doing life in that moment with him, who witnessed his trial, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I think it's so neat that when Jesus was raised from the dead, that the message came and they were, the women were told to go and tell my disciples. And you want to see love, folks? There's love in this next statement from Jesus. There's love immeasurably because of what this individual had done just 3 days before. He told the ladies, go and tell my disciples. And Peter. Why and Peter? Because Peter was hurting, folks. Peter was a broken man. We're told in that wonderful account of that evening of the trial, which is a terrible thing, but it's a wonderful account, that on that night, Peter, the presumed spokesperson for all of the disciples, the one who told Jesus, he promised Jesus that even if the others flee, I won't. I will die with you if I must. And on that night, Jesus is betrayed and he's standing trial. Peter does exactly what Jesus said he would do. He denies even knowing Jesus. So, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. And finally, that third time, he gets angry. Because we're told that he curses the person that accuses him of knowing Jesus. And Luke tells us very plainly in his gospel that in that moment, they apparently are in the courtyard. Jesus has come out to the courtyard. And Peter and Jesus make eye contact. And Peter is broken. And we're told that Peter goes off and he weeps bitterly. Here's a man who doesn't need judgment. He's already doing that. He knows what he did. And he's broken because of what he did. This is a man who is in need of love, in need of compassion. And I believe that in that moment, in that courtyard, when Luke says their eyes met, that the eyes, the message that was in Jesus was not one of condemnation to Peter. It was one of love. It was one that said, Peter, I still love you. And then the message from these ladies, go and tell my disciples, and Peter needs to know that I want to see him again, that I want him to meet me with the other disciples on a hill in Galilee. And so they come together in that moment on a hillside in Galilee, and Jesus gives them his heart. He gives them his mission, and they hand that mission down to us. And that primary mission is this: make disciples. That's the mission of the church. That's the mission of each one of us, because the church is not a building. The church is living and the church is breathing. And the church needs to move. And it needs to carry out that mission. And so as the leadership of this church came together several years ago now, it doesn't seem that long ago, but I'm starting my ninth year here at Monrovia Christian Church. And this was done shortly after I came here, that we came together and we said, keeping that mission in mind, that overall mission that we have been given by our Savior, how can we put that in, in terms that help us today. And so we came up with this mission statement, this purpose statement that says this, simply, Monrovia Christian Church, we as individuals exist to live and breathe Christ. And that's what we focused last week's message on, to live and breathe Christ. But we exist to live and breathe Christ by nurturing people. And we said, how do we begin to carry out that life of living and breathing Christ? And we turned to this passage of Scripture and we based this whole movement on this. In John 13, 35, we find Jesus speaking these words, and I believe in a very real sense, indicating how we're to carry out this mission. And Jesus said to them in verse 35, by this all people. But I want you to grab that word all, because what that is that's inclusive, folks. That's everybody. That's you, that's me, that's everyone. That if you want to be known and recognized as a disciple of Jesus Christ, here's how you do it. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love. Just love for one another. And I want you to understand, when Jesus is talking about that, I don't believe, yes, he's initially talking about that core group that is around him, which could be as many as 120 disciples that have been following him through his ministry. But I believe that Jesus is making a broader statement. When he says to love one another, he's talking about all of us loving the world, because that's what Jesus did. For God, that's what God did as well. For God so loved the Jews? It's not what he says. It's not what his word says. For God so loved all. He loved the world. And we said last week that the evidence that we truly live and breathe Christ is defined in a life which loves the way Jesus did, and that is to love unconditionally. And that the way we learn to love unconditionally is the way that we learn anything. The best way for us to learn. We can read textbooks and that's great. And some of us learn well just reading textbooks. But until we put it in action, until we see it put in action, we cannot fully understand. When we're little, our best learning practice is just watching others. Typically, the second child does things quicker than the first child. Why? Because the first child has set an example. They've been watching them. And so typically, not always, that second child learns a little bit quicker from an example. Yes, there's teaching in words, but there's that example, and we grow from that. The other way that we do learn is through reading, but the other thing is that if we are going to love, we said, we need to learn about the one who is love and to live the way he lived, and that being Jesus Christ. Now, we can't physically see Jesus, but we can certainly see his example when we dig into his word and we begin to read it and to digest it and to take it in. We can learn to see Jesus in others because they are living and breathing Christ. And so I challenged us as a church to begin to read through the Bible in a year chronologically. And I'm amazed. I'll be honest with you. I'm amazed at the number of you that have taken up that challenge. I've heard many of you tell me about it and thank me for giving you that. Don't thank me. It's God's word. Thank God for it. Some of you didn't get those because I only printed so many. And apparently there wasn't enough. So if you didn't get that calendar, it's out there on the worship center. I printed more. So if you'd like to have it, or you've lost your copy. And if you haven't gotten started, it's okay. You're only a week behind. You can catch up pretty quickly if you really want to. Or just bump it a week. I'm okay with that. And just start this week on week one. But get into God's Word. Because that's where you will see this example of true, authentic love. So if loving unconditionally is the evidence, how does it manifest itself in our daily lives? And I believe that's the second part of this purpose statement that we have from Monrovia Christian Church. How does it manifest itself in our lives? Simply by doing it. Simply by loving. And we love by nurturing one another. If you will turn with me to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, very quickly. Listen to what Jesus says. It's the account of a young lawyer, a young legal scholar coming to Jesus. And his whole purpose really is to trip Jesus up, to trick him. But he asks this great question. He says, what's the greatest commandment? Now understand, the commandments that God gave to Moses were principles for living a godly life. And the first four were all about our relationship to God. And the next six are all about our relationship with those around us. And so here's this legal scholar coming to Jesus and saying, now which of these is the greatest of all these? Which one should I focus most of my time on? And I love Jesus' answer. And it's an answer we need to grab a hold of. He says this in verse 37. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He says, this is the great and first commandment. It's simply to love God. But you can't love God unless you get to know God. You can't love God unless you begin to experience God in your life. And that means you've got to spend time with Him. You got to spend time alone with Him. You got to spend time corporately with His body. And so that's digging into His Word. And then He says this, and the second is like it. Notice again that in both places, that key word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord, love your neighbor. And then He says this, very, very poignantly for me. On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets. Everything else is built on this foundation of loving. The church will grow built on a foundation of love. It will struggle through conflict, as we do in our lives. But we survive conflict by hanging on to the love of those around us and the encouragement of those around us. And so that primary command that Jesus gives, the greatest command, is this. Love. Yes, love God first. But also love one another. You see, Jesus' message hasn't changed. Even to this young lawyer, it's the same. They will know you are my disciples if you love one another, if you love your neighbors. Everything grows from that. So we begin living and breathing Christ by loving Him and growing each day in our lives for Him. But the second command deals with not looking to ourselves, not looking and saying, what about me? God's taking care of you, especially if you're in that loving relationship with Him. He has covered every sin. He has guaranteed your future. Why? Because He loves you. Plain, clearly, unequivocally, He loves you. And now He's calling us to go to the world and love the way He loved, to nurture others. If you look at the life of Jesus, isn't that really what He did while He was here on earth? He loved and He cared for the lost. I think oftentimes we hear the word nurture, especially when it comes to sharing Jesus, and we think about, well, if we're going to nurture people, we need to shove this down their throat. We need to feed them the Word. Don't get me wrong. They need to know the Word of God. They do. And so sometimes when we think of the word nurture, if it's all about feeding them the Word of God, many of us step back and say, but I don't know it well enough. That's part of the reason we need to be in it daily. It's so that we can learn it well enough. But even while you're learning it, you can still live and love the way Jesus did. You can still look to Him for that example. Nurturing is much more than just feeding. Nurture has been defined, as a matter of fact, as the process of caring for and encouraging the growth or development of someone or something. Nurture is defined as the process of caring. It doesn't say just feeding. One aspect of caring is make sure they've been fed. But that's not all it says, is it? It's not all nurturing is. So it's important that we know the Scripture and that we share that in it they can see and meet and find God. But in us, they can meet and see and find God if we are nurturing in all ways. It's important that they look and see Scripture and find Jesus and understand God's plan of salvation. But it's also important that they see it in the way we live out our lives with them. I believe that sometimes the best method of teaching, as I've said, is through example. It's simply being a follower of Jesus Christ in every aspect and every part of our lives. From the moment we get up in the morning until the moment we go to bed at night, what people should see in us is Jesus. And the best picture of Jesus I know is love. And I believe the example that is what we're to do is also wrapped around a story about Peter. Also dealing with the brokenness of Peter after his denial of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John 21, 15 through 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, Do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to Peter, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Notice this. Peter's getting a little agitated that Jesus keeps asking. Peter got agitated with the people because they kept asking the same question. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Yes, this passage of Scripture, as we've come to know it and understand it, was a message to Peter in one way of restoring and reconciling Jesus or Peter to Jesus so that Peter could be the missionary and the minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ that Jesus had desired for him to be and continued to desire for him to be. And there's a wonderful message in there for us that we too have been called. We like Peter, every one of us at some point in our lives through sin have denied the person of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. And yet Jesus freely calls us to ministry because he desires to restore us and to reconcile us. So the message for Peter about reconciliation is there for us as well. But I want us to look at this passage of Scripture that's here, because I believe Jesus gives Peter and us a successful way of carrying out that mission of making disciples. Mission for the church. The mission for us. Simply to love. To love completely and to love unconditionally. If we were to attempt to sum up this brief passage of this account with Peter, I think maybe we could say it this way. If you love me, then love my sheep. And if you love my sheep, you will care for them. If you love me, love my sheep. And if you love my sheep, you will care for them. Notice that in this passage, Jesus asks Peter the same question three times. And the question is a simple one. And it goes back to that great commandment. Peter, do you love me? And Peter, the third time, seems to wrap up what Jesus said in that great commandment. Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love you with my heart, my mind, my body, my strength, with everything that I have. Lord, you know that. And by the end of this interaction with Peter, as I said, he got a little perturbed, but he three times says, Lord, I love you. I do love you, Lord. Lord, don't doubt it, because I do love you and you know my heart. Look at my heart, Lord. And each time Peter answers, Jesus, and here's the important thing, What Jesus says to Peter is not a request. It's not a statement of, well, Peter, when you get a chance, will you take care of my sheep for me? In the Greek, the word that is used in each of these cases is an imperative. An imperative means that it is a command. It means that if you love me, if you love Jesus, then you have a command. And the command is stated using two Greek words. It's repeated three times. One is repeated twice and the other once. And the first word that Jesus uses is the word bosko, which is most often translated as tend or care. Tend or care for my sheep. That's the command. What does it mean to tend or care for the sheep of God? It's not just about feeding them. That's only one aspect that the shepherd was concerned with when he would take care of a flock of sheep. Those sheep were his life. He lived with them. He did life with a bunch of woolly animals. He began to smell like them. Because here's what he'd do. He would take them out into the pastures and he would stay with them. He would protect them from anything that would come to attack them. Any stress that came, he was there as their protector. If we're to tend for the flock, then what we need to do is we need to be people who see when people are hurting. When stress has come into their life, when they are distressed, and we need to step up and just care for them. And here's the thing. Sometimes we think that when we have to care for somebody, we need to do this big thing. But we don't. Sometimes the most simplest way you can tend to a person in need, in a struggling situation, is just to be present. Not to speak a word. Just to be present. To be that person that is just there, and all you're saying to them by your presence is I love you. I love you enough to come and just sit with you. If that's what you need, I love you enough to come do that. I marvel at many of you because you come to me and you thank me for the many things that I do, especially, this is not a pat on my back. Please don't take it that way. Because I do it because I love. I do it because it's who Jesus made me to be. I don't do it because I'm the senior minister of Monrovia Christian Church. I do it because I love my Lord. And my Lord says, if you love me, you'll tend to my sheep. And so you come to me and I've shown up to the hospital and you say to me, thank you for what you did. I was at Jackie Brown's viewing. And most of you know me, when I'm doing that, I'm there for the family the whole time. That's who God made me to be. That's not a slam against ministers that don't do that. God didn't make them that way. But Jackie's granddaughter came up to me and very simply said this. I hadn't done anything. I sat in the back and I talked to a few people as they came through the door, but I was present. And she came to me and she said, thank you for everything that you've done. I hadn't done a thing, folks. except be present. That's it. It took a little bit of my time. And that's it. You see, sometimes I think, though, that we see this call to Peter as pastoral work. And it is. It's exactly what it is. But we look at that and say, well, that's the preacher's job, or that's the associate minister's job. The command is for all of us to love. And if you love me, tend my sheep. And I will tell you that it will speak volumes into people's lives if you just are there. You see, they expect it from me. They expect me to be at the hospital. That's what he does. That's his job assignment. They don't expect that from you. And so the message that you send is more powerful, a more powerful message of the love of Jesus Christ than I can ever send. Because they expect it of me. They don't of you. And they say, wow, there's a people who love. The second command that Jesus gives Peter is this word, pimeno, and that means to shepherd. And again, the role of the shepherd isn't just about feeding them. That's a part of it. David describes the shepherd as one who leads beside still waters, brings them to a place where they can rest and grow strength. And we need to step into some people's lives and just be there to help build them up. You see, it's not just about doing the big things. It says when a tornado comes through Henryville, we're going to load up a bunch of people and we're going down and clean up and help them get their lives back together. Wonderful things to do. Don't get me wrong. We should do those things. But the one thing that's going to make an impact in the lives is if we love in our own backyard. And you need to understand that the church doesn't grow one big project at a time, and it doesn't grow a bunch of people at once. It did when it first started. But the nature of the church is it grows one life at a time. And the only way that's going to happen is if we pour ourselves, the love of Jesus, into one life. One life at a time. But here's the thing. If you pour your love into that person and they come to Jesus Christ and they've developed that love, so you go to another person and begin to pour your love into that person, guess what this person's doing? The same thing, because they learn it from you. And the church grows. There's a lot of truth, folks, to that old adage. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You see, sometimes we need to just look for the simple things. And sometimes the simple things is just this. Pick up a phone and call someone. Hey, I was just thinking about you today. How's it going? I just want you to know I love you. And that God loves you. Over and over again, I think that's what we saw with Jesus. We talked about Jesus and Zacchaeus. We don't know what happened in the discussion. We don't know what Jesus might or might not have taught around that table. But Luke wants us to know, when he tells us the story of Zacchaeus, that what Jesus did was he simply loved. He simply sat down and spent time. He was present in the life of Zacchaeus. We love the story of the Good Samaritan that goes out and this Jewish man has been robbed and beaten for death, and the religious people leave him for dead, and his sworn enemy. He didn't preach anything. He just lived the love of Jesus Christ. When he bound up his wounds, he put him on his own donkey. He said, I know that I got to be here for this, but right now this is more important. And he loved that Jewish man. He was present. Did he do more things? Yes. He took him to a hotel. He bound up his wounds. He gave the innkeeper money to cover the bills and said, if there's more that's due when I come back, I'll cover that for you. Don't worry about it. But he didn't do it for the world to see. We have it in Scripture because Jesus wanted to teach us about love and about caring for our neighbor. Over and over again, as we look at the life of Jesus, that's what we see. Jesus simply loving people. Jesus didn't ask the Roman centurion what his political affiliation was. He didn't care. The centurion came to him with deep concern for a servant. And Jesus just loved. You say, but that's Jesus. He knew. Didn't matter. He still loved. I think the story that Jesus tells that we have to come to understand, or the message that Jesus has that we need to come to understand as individuals, as the church, is found in Luke, the 9th chapter. It's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. There's these people that have been around Jesus all day and they're hungry. And the disciples come to Jesus and say, send them away. They need to be somebody else's problem for today. Send them into the city. Let them buy food. Let them find whatever they can. And Jesus says to them in verse 13 of that 9th chapter, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. But what I want us to catch is that he says, you do it. You love them today. Find a way. Oh, and by the way, don't forget I'm here. I'm here to help. And he does a miraculous thing. But his call is to his people. It's a beautiful song that's out today. It's been around for a couple years at least, but it talks about everything that's going on in the world today. And he cries out to God, God, why don't you do something? And God responds back, I did. I gave them you. You do something. You say, Richard, we give to support our food pantry here at the church and the clothes closets and all these other wonderful things, and we need to continue to do that work. But the face of Monrovia Christian Church is best seen in individual faces. Loving the way Jesus loved. A simple hug. A little prayer. A smile. A phone call. A card. Helping a waitress at a restaurant because they're so slammed and they're so behind and there's somebody that needs a cup of coffee. Can I go fill that cup of coffee for you? What message would that send? You see, we don't need to look for the big things. We need to look for the everyday simple things and just love. We need to realize our call. There's an episode of Andy Griffith, and Andy's out on a trip, and Barney's put in charge of law enforcement in the lovely town of Mayberry, and so Barney decides he's going to deputize Gomer. And while Andy's gone and they're walking through the street and they notice that the bank is about to be robbed. And so they sneak over and they hide behind a car and they're wondering and they're watching and they're wondering what they should do. And pretty soon Gomer looks at Barney and he says, "Shazam, we need to call the police." And Barney says, "We are the police." I wonder if sometimes what isn't the message out there is we need to call Monrovia Christian Church. And what we need to realize is we are Monrovia Christian Church. My brother and friend Steve prays this every day. Let me be there for someone today. That's nurturing. That's loving. Simply. Nothing else. Let's pray. Almighty God, most gracious Heavenly Father, for this time we give you thanks. Father, work in our hearts. Open our hearts and our eyes and our ears to see the opportunities you put in our path each and every day to be you to someone in our lives, whether it's at our schools, whether it's at work, whether it's at the restaurant, or whether it's at the coffee shop, or whether it's at the store, wherever it is, Father, help us to love. Help us to nurture in all ways, not in just preaching the gospel, but let us preach the gospel through the actions and the way we live our lives. Each and every day. Father, if there's one here today that does not know your Son as Lord and Savior, I pray that in this moment your Spirit would speak to them. Father, guide them, strengthen them. Allow them to ask questions. Allow them to seek us out and ask questions so that we can be Jesus to them and nurture them in that way. But Father, help us to look beyond that. Father, for those of us that have been struggling with our walk with you, draw us back home. Give us your heart. Help us to live and breathe you as we seek to nurture the community around us, the community that you called us to serve. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.